suffer as followers of Christ. And so Paul's suffering is in some way unique as an apostle, but he's also just suffering as part of Christ's body who suffers. In some way, his physical suffering represents Christ to them. Christ's church will suffer, and Paul is completing his part in that. Jesus suffered in order to save us, and so Paul suffers in order to proclaim that message. And then in verse 29, at the end of that paragraph, to this end, he says, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works within me. Notice Paul's strenuously contending. More literally, he is toiling or laboring. He is working hard, but he is also contending. He is struggling. There's someone to fight against. There's an adversary there. So he's not just working hard, it's combative as well. And he does this with the energy that God, that Jesus, works within him. It is not his own resources that he draws upon, but God's. God gives him the strength for the hard work that he must do, for the suffering that he must endure. We see similar ideas repeated in the second paragraph, in verse 1 there of chapter 2. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. As I said before, he's never met these Colossians. It was Epaphras who brought the gospel to them, and yet Paul struggles for them. He's imprisoned for proclaiming the gospel to Gentiles, to non-Jews just like them. And he continues, while he's in prison, to write letters to them about Jesus, to remind them of the gospel. And then down in verse 5, the last verse, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Even though he's away from them, even though he's never met them, there's a sense in which he is involved. He is with them in spirit. And here already he hints at the goal of all this, the firmness of their faith in Christ. So this was Paul's manner. Gospel ministry for Paul involves suffering. It involves hard work, toiling and contending. And so as we consider standing firm and growing in our faith, up front we know immediately it involves suffering and hard work at some level. Second, we look at Paul's mission and ask, what is it that he's trying to achieve? If it involves hard work, what is it that he's trying to do? We look at verses 25 and 26 there in the first paragraph. He says, I have become, he's talking about the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Paul has become a servant of the church, and this involves him preaching the word of God and revealing the mysteries of God. He wants to make the word of God known in all its fullness, not only the Old Testament, not only the story up until the point of Jesus, of God seeking to rescue his people, but he wants them to know the full story, the whole story. He wants them to know the new revelation that he has about the resurrected Christ, the Messiah who's come and died and risen from the dead, and about the inclusion of Gentiles, of non-Jews into the people of God. See, at the time Paul's writing to them, this is brand new stuff in their part of the world. He wants these Gentiles to know all about this in all its fullness. And then in verse 28 there, he says, he, that's Jesus, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. The purpose is to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Mature here is used in the sense of perfect or complete. And so the goal of Paul's ministry is for complete Christians, mature Christians. And note the repetition of everyone. I think it's twice there in the NIV that I've read, but it's actually there three times in the original language. He's admonishing everyone, teaching everyone, presenting everyone fully mature. The goal of being mature is not for some elite few. It's not that some Christians are supposed to aim for that and the rest of us for mediocrity. It's for everyone. Paul wants them to see, he wants to see every Christian grow in their faith. And the means to do this is to proclaim Christ to them. Not once at their conversion. It's not that we proclaim Christ when we call someone to trust Jesus and then move on to something else. But as he seeks to see them mature, to become complete and perfect in their faith, he continues to proclaim Christ, to admonish and teach throughout their Christian life. He says there in chapter 2, verse 2, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ." Here Paul mentions the purpose of encouraging the Colossian Christians. This will bring unity. This will bring about complete understanding, the informed conviction which results from insight. And all this comes from knowing Christ. And then again, in verse 4 of chapter 2, he's saying the same kind of thing. "I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." Here he's hinting at that false teaching that's creeping into the Colossian church. He's going to discuss that more later on in this chapter. But his language is important. In chapter 1, he had prayed for the Colossians that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is because the false teaching that they are following is offering spiritual wisdom and understanding from a source other than the gospel of Jesus. There's some kind of mystery on offer, apparently, some mystery on offer other than the death and resurrection of Jesus that supposedly is going to give them something extra. Paul says no, he wants to protect them from being deceived. And that's why he's proclaiming Christ to them. So the manner of his ministry, it involves suffering and hard work. And his mission is to encourage, to grow, and to protect them in their faith. Paul's working hard, contending and suffering in order to protect the church from false teaching, to see them stand firm, to see them encouraged and maturing in their faith. But what does he actually do? What's his means of this? Just two verses. The centerpiece of each of those two paragraphs highlights this. So chapter 1, verse 27. "To them God has chosen," that's to the Gentiles, to the Lord's people, "God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And then in chapter 2, I'll kind of pick up halfway through verse 2. "In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul's ministry is characterized by hard work, but the thing he actually does is to proclaim. This is the means of producing growth and maturity in the Colossian Christians. And what's the content of what he proclaims? He proclaims the mystery of God, which is Christ, which is Christ in you. It is Jesus that he proclaims, not some special secret wisdom, not some way to a special life, not anything else but Jesus. This seems obvious to us, really, but there are so many alternatives out there. Some people just want to proclaim good moral living, just a kind of clean living life. Some people just want to offer hope to boost our self-esteem without mentioning Jesus. Some people want to offer a means to a successful life. Paul's offering Christ. Paul describes this message about Jesus as the glorious riches of this mystery and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is a rich, a glorious, treasured message that it is our privilege to hear and to proclaim. And so Paul says to the Colossians, "To help you stand firm and grow in your faith, I am working hard to proclaim Jesus from God's word." And so for us also to stand firm and grow in our faith, We need to work harder at hearing and teaching Jesus from the Bible, to kind of emulate both sides of that coin. Given what Paul does to protect and grow their faith, we need to both receive that and provide that for one another. This is not an idea unique to Colossians at all. Right through the New Testament, Paul and others write letters to churches to encourage them to stand firm in the face of opposition, to protect them from false teaching, and to grow in their faith. And this always involves hearing and teaching Jesus from the Bible. When Paul outlines to Timothy, a young pastor, the kind of substance of his ministry, he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then to the Gentile. Paul's confidence is in nothing else but in Christ, in the gospel message about Christ, his death and resurrection. That not only saves people, but that is the means of their protection and their maturing in their faith. So what are your plans for this year? What are your hopes for this year, your ambitions for 2020? Well, I hope one of them is that you stand firm and grow in your faith this year. And I hope that you want to see other Christians stand firm and grow in their faith this year. Your friends and peers, those you're sitting among tonight. For those of you who lead youth groups and teen church and kids ministries at our church and Scripture Union camps and Teach RI and all sorts of other contexts like that. Do you want to see those younger people stand firm and grow in their faith? If, like me, you're a parent, do you want to see your own children grow and stand firm in their faith? Is that something that you concretely have as a goal for this year? Well, we all must believe that proclaiming Jesus to each other and to ourselves is the means of seeing this growth happen. Do we believe that teaching Jesus from the Bible is the best way? And are we prepared to work hard at this task? Like Paul, are we prepared to struggle, to toil, even to suffer so that we can hear and teach Jesus from the Bible? In church, because we believe that hearing and teaching Jesus from the Bible is what helps us stand firm and grow, we make the sermon, the preaching of God's word, the central part of our service. We preach from the Bible week by week. The authority and power certainly doesn't come from me and the other guys who preach. It comes from the Bible. It's got nothing to do with the preacher being anybody special. And those who preach, well, we work hard in our preparation. We take time to read and study and pray to make sure that we've been faithful to God's revelation in Scripture and have thought hard about how that applies to us. Because we believe these things, in our kids' ministries, we teach the Bible, not just good morals. We don't just want well-behaved children. We want saved kids who trust Jesus. At youth, we speak about Jesus, not just some inspirational message to boost their self-esteem. In our lounge groups, we study the Bible itself, not just listen to what some expert says about the Bible. And we struggle and sacrifice at times. Sometimes it takes energy and toil in order to do this, and that's right. What about personally? Do you really want to grow your faith? We come to church to hear the Bible, Jesus preached from the Bible, don't we? We go to home group, to lounge groups to study it, and we read or listen to it in our daily devotional times. That's part of the hard work we do to see that happen. This is why we try to wake up half an hour earlier or stay up half an hour later or just be a bit more organized so that we can carve out that time to spend in the Bible and in prayer. Why you might even look up something to find out what the passage means if you're struggling to understand. Why you might listen to good podcasts and things like that online. This is why we try to be disciplined to do it regularly, because it's good for us. It is the way that we will stand firm and grow in our faith. to stand firm and grow in our faith, we need to work hard at hearing and teaching Jesus from the Bible. Paul's manner was that it was hard work and struggle. His mission was that these Christians would grow and be protected, and his means was to teach Jesus from the Bible. And that's the same for us. And so as you go away this week, decide on one thing you're going to do to make sure that you are hearing Jesus from the Bible, and one opportunity that you can find to do that for someone else. And if we all did that, week by week, it would make a massive difference to us all standing firm and growing in our faith. It would make an exciting year for our church as well. Let me pray before we sing our final song. God, our Father, we, like Paul, like these Colossians, are stunned at the goodness of the gospel. We have an astonishing Saviour. It is amazing who Christ is, and even more amazing that you gave him for us, that it was by the means of his death and resurrection that we could be reconciled to you, no longer your enemies, but your friends. And Lord, we pray that everyone here may have understood and responded to that gospel message in faith. Lord, if there are any among us tonight who've never made that step of trusting you for the first time, we pray that they wouldn't leave tonight without having a conversation with someone about that and inquiring into that. And Lord, for those of us who have made that first step, some of us many, many years ago, we pray that we would not stagnate in our faith. We pray that this year especially, we would grow in our faith. And we would spur one another on in that, Lord, that we would be passionate to see each other growing in our faith, to see younger people who we minister to growing in their faith and protected from being deceived. For our own children, Lord, we pray that our church, our lounge groups, our ministries would continue to be characterized by prioritizing teaching Jesus from the Bible. We pray that our own lives would be full of that as we seek you and your word. We pray, as we have already, that your word would dwell among us richly, that we would grow in our faith, and that you would be glorified in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.